This is Steve Zeltzer with Pacifica. Noel Hanrahan is an investigative journalist and the author of Prison Radio, which is focused on the international struggle to free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Since 1992, she has been producing Mumia Abu-Jamal's radio commentaries and has worked with Pacifica for decades to expose for the racist and corrupt criminal judicial system. Her work has allowed the voice of Mumia Abu-Jamal to reach millions. And recently, Pacifica passed a resolution to take up the case of Mumia throughout the network and the stations. Welcome to COVID, Race, and Democracy.
I'm really glad to be here. And thank you so much for carrying that petition and carrying that movement that Pacifica will actually endorse Mumia's struggle now. That's amazing.
Well, I think it's a long time coming because he was a journalist in his work, and that's one of the reasons he was repressed. Now, let's talk about the relationship of Mumia to Pacifica, because you've been a longtime journalist who's worked with Pacifica, produces a lot of your programs for Pacifica. How did Mumia start to work with Pacifica and your work as well to help get his voice out?
In 1989 and 1990, I was working at KPFA in Berkeley, California, one of the flagship station of Pacifica. And we were doing programming on US political imprisonment and prisoners. And I became aware of Mumia Abu-Jamal's case. So he had been incarcerated in 1981 and 82 and convicted in 82. And by 1989, 1990, we were starting to cover imprisonment, political imprisonment on KPFA's airwaves. When I heard that, I reached out to Mumia and asked to record him. I had heard a very tiny scratchy tape of him. I hadn't actually recorded him yet. And I had been producing programming for Pacifica and for the National on incarceration and on the death penalty. Pennsylvania was one of the largest death rows, but California had a massive death row as well. So we were covering San Quentin, which you can almost see from Pacifica's offices and KPFA's office. So we were really, the death penalty was coming back. California was about to reinstate the death penalty in 1992. And so it was a hot topic moment. We were covering all that. So I was looking for a voice from death row to record. I heard a scratchy tape of Mumia. I went to Pennsylvania. I recorded him. And I've got these master tapes from July of 1992 of Mumia Abu-Jamal doing his first recording for radio in 11 years since he had been incarcerated. We brought those back and I brought them to KPFA and I started to air them on KPFA's airwaves. That's how we began.
And the ability to get his voice out, was that a struggle? I mean, because he is in prison, they certainly did not want his voice to get out. What was the struggle involved in that to get that?
So every prison is a fiefdom. Every prison's a fiefdom. So I just applied to the prison and asked. And I went in with a tape recorder. He was in solitary. He was in isolation. They had a plexiglass between him and I. We were separated by a barrier. I asked the guard to walk around a supercardioid headset mic that I designed specifically for the environment to keep the reflection from the plexiglass off of his voice. He had a scratchy beard, so it was positioning the microphone was difficult. I had wireless setup, because I wanted to make sure the frequencies were able to be accommodated. Like prisons have a lot of different electronic systems. And so I had a multi-frequency wireless setup. I was able to do that because Pacifica trained me, because KPFA's apprenticeship program trained me, because I had just come out of the apprenticeship program. And Pacifica is about privileging voices that aren't heard. And so I went there, put a microphone in front of him, and I was shocked. I did not realize that Mumia Abu-Jamal was a trained broadcast journalist in the finest African-American tradition of this country. Amazing legacy of work that he had done. And he was like James Earl Jones in a box. He has a fantastic voice and he has a political consciousness. He's a revolutionary. It was the perfect combination. Got him, got the tapes, brought them back, started airing them, and made plans to go back to get more tapes. And that is when the censorship started happening, honestly. To jump right into that, I got master tapes of Mumia Abu-Jamal and I took them to Pacifica National and Gail Christian, and I put them in the tape player and I played them for her. And the National Pacifica Network said, I don't want to make him a martyr. We are never going to air those tapes nationally. No way. I was with someone else. I brought someone with me. So there was a witness. I walked out of that room, down the stairs, across the road, and I went to Ellen Weiss, the director of National Public Radio's All Things Considered. And I put that same DAT tape in a player for her an hour later. She said, this is one of the best commentators I've ever heard. He's one of the top three commentators I've ever heard. We are going to put him on All Things Considered and make him a national broadcaster. She had no ability to like be self-censored because so when Pacifica decided that it wasn't going to air the tapes, I went to every station. I went to every single Pacifica station to make sure that Mumia actually could get broadcast. I think it's really important that, and let me tell the story, you know, in the sequence, things were happening very fast at the time. So this was in the spring of 1994. And we had developed the recordings, we had done enough work, we were going to offer it to Pacifica National, we're going to offer it to NPR National. NPR National said yes, Pacifica said no. And then after NPR National started promoting it, Congress got involved. And Bob Dole got up on the Senate floor and threatened NPR's funding if they ever dared broadcast that material. So Ellen Weiss, the director of All Things Considered and VP at NPR, called me into her office and said, bring me a more acceptable prisoner. Go find me somebody who can talk about these super important issues. Ellen Weiss got it. She got that we were at the beginning of this incarceration race and mass incarceration. She said, we need somebody from inside to talk about this, but it can't be Mumia Abu-Jamal, because Bob Dole had just threatened her funding. She turned and looked out the window and you could see the Capitol. And she said, I never thought that I would actually get censored from the Capitol. It just didn't occur to me. It had occurred to Gail Christian. So that's how that happened. So when the censorship of All Things Considered happened, when they yanked those tapes, they still have those tapes. They still have 12 tapes in their basement at National Public Radio that they've never let anyone hear. All Things Considered is actually All Things Censored, or what the police want you to consider, but that be as it may. We went then to Democracy Now. And Democracy Now! Was associated with Pacifica, started in Pacifica, and was willing to take up the cause, in part because they had Juan Gonzalez. And Juan Gonzalez was a colleague of Mumia Abu-Jamal's in Philadelphia when Mumia was a journalist. And so they took up the cause and they started broadcasting Mumia Abu-Jamal, and that was a beautiful thing. And it also went to every single other station. So Pacifica has five stations and many affiliates. And I went to all of those stations and I sought out the programmers, the people who pressed play from the board, who were going to broadcast this talent. It wasn't necessarily going to be the people who were the program directors. It wasn't going to be the people who were the station managers. You know, I worked at Pacifica, I worked at KPFA for many years, and people told me at KPFA, you know, what kind of programming are you doing? I'll tell you, like, and you know, we have to start telling the truth. And this is going to be, okay, so Eileen Alfandari one day, the head of the news department, came up to me and said, what was that thing that you just played on the radio? And I said, she said, it sounded like the Communist Manifesto. We are never going to play that. And I said, it's Peter Coyote reading the Bill of Rights. And it won a national award at, you know, the National Community Broadcasters Association. But guess how much it got played on KPFA? Not that much. Because people were afraid of Peter Coyote reading the Bill of Rights because it sounded like you're reading the Communist Manifesto on a soapbox. That's the kind of environment that we lived in there. One time I did a story on Lockie Reddy Ballyreddy, who was a big landowner in Berkeley, who was sex trafficking young girls with his restaurants. And I got pushback from people, but he's a friend of the mayor. He's a friend of the police chief. I'm like, I don't care whose friend he is. This girl died. I'm going to report that. You know, I once said to Philip Maldari, another longtime programmer at KPFA, I said to him, I want to go broadcast, get Julie Butterfly Hill up in that tree in the redwoods. She's doing all that work around the redwoods. And he said to me verbatim, quote, if you climb up in that tree, I'll come record you, but I'm not airing anything of some kid in a tree doing a, and I'm like, okay. So those are the kinds of things you get at Pacifica. You get people who want to keep their tiny, 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 tiny little jobs and not do what we need to do. Hey, if you're not getting a little pushback from the establishment, from the corporations, from the police, you are not doing your journalistic job. And yes, Mumia Abu-Jamal has been censored many, many times. Addison Wesley dumped his books because they were afraid that the FOP were going to go after their textbook division. HBO pulled all of its content when they were airing his piece because they were afraid of the Fraternal Order of Police. But we cannot be afraid of these people. We have to understand that this is our job. Our job is to continue to broadcast from the places of silence. This is the motto for Pacifica. This is what Pacifica was made to do. And the individual programmers, the people who occupy programming, volunteer programmers, and even staff programming have to understand that that's the value of Pacifica. And it's not to protect our marginal potential employment. It is to do the work of God. No, it's to do the work that journalists were made to do. It's to do the work that we must do. And we have an obligation not to censor ourselves in any manner. And Mumia Abu-Jamal really proves that. And his work is fantastic. You know, I was trained by Norman Jio at Pacifica in the apprenticeship program. And when he heard the programming I was starting to do when I was young, he said, you're going to have a problem with your programming. So you have to make sure that the quality of your broadcasts is so high that they can only talk about censoring the content, that they can never give you an excuse for not having that broadcast. And I think that's what Mumia Abu-Jamal lets us do, is he lets us bring the best talent, the best writer, the best voice to the content of political imprisonment. He's accessible. He's a multilingualist. He's conversational in Spanish. He's fluent in French. He's fluent in German. He's getting his PhD at the University of Santa Cruz right now. He's done postdoc work at Ohio State. You know, he's produced 13 books. And for every book, we've had to fight to get him on the air. We've had to fight to get that book published. And it's worth it. It's worth doing.
Obviously, this voice has been reaching millions. And that is why the government and the corporations that control the media want him shut down. They haven't been successful yet. Will they be successful, and will his life be saved by the mobilization of people in this country?
You know, I think that people will bring Mumia home. It's a combination of the legal and the political. The legal apparatus has to be ready to pop open the keys, but the political movement, the people's movement, every tiny little action is one more ripple. That is a momentum that is going to bring all of the incarcerated elders that we live with home. That's going to roll back the tide of mass incarceration. We've lived through 40 years of having our priorities radically changed and the incarceration rate being just heaped upon the poor and working people. And that is going to change, and we're going to change it. And I do believe that.
Well, thank you for joining us on COVID, Race, and Democracy. We've been talking with Noelle Hanrahan, and she is the director of Prison Radio and has been instrumental in bringing the voice and struggle of Mumia Abu-Jamal to the listeners of Pacifica and the world. So thanks for joining us, Noelle.
You're welcome.